Was Jesus a shapeshifter? I am about to share with you highly suppressed ancient knowledge that was almost completely destroyed out of a codex in Nag Hammadi. And this is titled The Great Discourse of Seth, the second great discourse of Seth. Where's the first one? Great question. I don't know. Either to these guys. Now, I've got a copy. You can pick these up, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, probably even half-price books, the Nag Hammadi Scriptures. This one's edited by Marvin Meyer. And the second discourse of Great Seth is probably in the top three most fascinating ancient scriptures that I've read. I mean, it's the details are incredible. So, and I want to give a huge shout out. This podcast is brought to you by Trade Genius Academy. You should definitely check them out, Trade Genius Academy. If you're interested in cryptocurrencies, if you're interested in Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, what a wallet is, how to set up a wallet, how to do mining, etc., how to get in at the best times, hopefully, you should definitely look into TradeGeniusAcademy.com. They're offering specials for Leak Project. I'm also going to have a special tomorrow. Somebody on the show, an expert that knows very well how these cryptocurrencies work. And could this be the wave of the future? Many people think so. It's even... Okay, so the time frame now, a lot of these websites, if you want to set up a wallet, it could take 7 to 10 days. I mean, it's just, it's going crazy. So everybody's wanting to get in. But enough of that. Let's get into this scripture, which in my opinion is extremely controversial because it's got Jesus laughing at a whole bunch of key players in previous texts and scriptures. And this is supposedly written by Jesus. Yet they say it was written about the middle of the first century or the second century. So how does that work? I don't know. The second discourse of Great Seth. Let's get started. First of all, I want to give you a quick rundown as well. So the perfect majesty, the mother and the savior, the word and baptism, the call of the salvation of the divine thoughts, coming to this world, unrest and confusion in the world. Then it talks about the arrogance of the world rulers, a bunch of information about the archons in here, in the mouths of lions, coming down past the rulers. There's this one part in here that talks about how Jesus actually shapeshifts and walks amongst the rulers. They don't even realize who he is. And then the crucifixion is interpreted, and he mocks, Jesus is mocking the rulers and saying that many previous icons in scriptures are jokes. So that's quite controversial as well. Oppressed and persecuted in this world, the opponents and insignificance and the ignorant. So the perfect people who live in harmony and friendship, Adam and his descendants were a joke in this. That's literally what's said in these scriptures, which is fascinating. The ruler of the world is a joke. Then it describes, he says, I am Christ. And then there's a small poem or hymn after that. Why did you not know the mystery? This is what I have given you. So those are the headlines or the, you know, the descriptions at the top of these paragraphs here. Now let me read, I'm not going to read this entire treatise to you, but I am going to read most of it. This is the beginning. The second discourse of Great Seth, perfect majesty, the mother and the savior. Perfect majesty. Is it rest in infallible light, in truth, the mother of all things, since I alone am perfect, all of you attain to me on account of the word, for I dwell with all the majesty of the Spirit, who is a friend equally to us and to our kin. The word and baptism. I have uttered a discourse for the glory of our Father, through his goodness and imperishable thought, and this word comes from him. It is a matter fit for slavery, to say, we shall die with Christ, which means with imperishable and undefiled thought. What an incomprehensible wonder! The scripture regarding the ineffable water in use among us is this word. I am in you, and you are in me, just as the Father is in me and in you with no guile at all. This is where it gets interesting. This next chapter, in my mind, if I'm looking at it from a 21st century standpoint, I definitely see like this shape-shifting technology If I look at it from a spiritual standpoint, then I'm looking at it as the astral realm coming down from the heavens from a different dimension, which is described also in Eastern religions, Western religions, mysticism, the call for the salvation of divine thoughts. Let's call together an assembly. Let's examine this creation of his and send someone just as he also examined thoughts in the regions below. So they're examining thoughts in the regions below. I'm thinking of, you know, this, if you want to look at it from a Star Trek standpoint, then you can see it in an aspect of their observing. If you want to look at it in the aspect of a spiritual realm, it's the same thing without the lower vibrational frequency meat suits. I said this to all the members of the whole vast assembly of the Majesty, so that they rejoiced, and the entire household of the Father of Truth rejoiced. Since I am of them, I remind them of the thoughts that had come from the undefiled spirit and had descended to the water. That is, to the regions below, a single thought was in all of them, since it came from a single source. They expressed their decision to me, and I concurred and went forth to reveal glory to my kin, my friends in spirit. Now, Seth is supposedly the third child of Adam and Eve, which is interesting. And Seth is supposedly, according to many's beliefs, Jesus was the reincarnation of Seth. I said this to all the members of the whole vast assembly of the Majesty so that they rejoiced. Since I am of them, I reminded them of the thoughts that had come from the undefiled spirit. Okay, I read that. Nanu, nanu. Those in the world had been prepared by the will of our sister Sophia, whose indiscretion was without guile. She was not sent out, nor did she request anything from the realm of the All, the majesty of the assembly, and the fullness when she first came to prepare homes and habitations for the child of light. From the elements below, she derived collaborators to construct bodily dwellings for them, but in their vain glory they fell into ruin. Yet it was in these dwellings that those in the world came to live, and since they were prepared by Sophia, they are ready to receive the saving word of the Ineffable One and the majesty of the assembly of all those who still are in waiting and those who already are in me. So this is like code almost, like we're code in a giant brain almost, in a giant mind, and the bodies that we're in now are corrupted, according to this, and, you know, they're living in vain. Wow, that's pretty deep. I mean, that's one thing about the Gnostics, is they certainly didn't look at the human body in this life as anything kind and loving. They looked at people and them, I mean, just as dark, and the bodies as evil and wicked, and we're in this low vibration, and we're in this like prison camp, and the archons that put us here, y'all, the Baoth and his creations as well, have locked us in this cube almost, like the Borg cube, you know, their Star Trek mindset there. But, you know, we can look at it spiritually, science fiction, you can look at it 21st century style, go back and look at it from their standpoint back then as best as you can. And then coming to this world, then he talks about coming to this world. Okay, so after he sees all this going on, these people are created, and then they're corrupt, and they're living in vain, but then they're still living through Sophia. Then he's like, okay, now I'm going to go into the world. So he approached a body dwelling and evicted the previous occupant. Whoa. Okay, that sounds like, what are they called? Hold on a second, I got to take a drink. Is it colostrum from GetTheTea.com? No, but I love that stuff. This is actually just coffee. But anyway, so he literally becomes a walk-in. That's what that sounds like to me. He becomes a walk-in. I approached a body dwelling and evicted the previous occupant, and I went in. The whole multitude of archons was upset. He upsets the archons and all the material stuff of the rulers. And the powers born of earth began to tremble at the sight of the figure with a composite image. I was in it, and I did not look like the previous occupant. He was a worldly person, but I am from above the heavens. I did not defy them, and I became an anointed one, but neither did I reveal myself to them in the love coming from me. Rather, I revealed that I am a stranger to the regions below. Sounds like he's coming from above the planetary bodies, above the solar system, above this universal plane, almost. Or you could look at it as just a point of maybe outside of this solar system. Maybe that's what it's referencing, outside of the solar system. So coming to this world, I approached a bodily dwelling and evicted the previous occupant. That's crazy. He becomes a walk-in. Then unrest and confusion in the world. There was a great disturbance with confusion and restlessness in the whole world and in the council of the Archons. Once again, the Archons, these deities. I wonder if these deities are linked to the planets that govern over the days of the week. Are they, you know, is Yal the Baoth linked or referenced to a specific planetary body as well? Like Saturn, maybe? Is Yal the Baoth Saturn? Jupiter would be Enlil. I wonder if Enki... Well, no, I was going to say, I'm wondering what planetary deity would be linked over Mars in the Sumerian texts. Now, if you look at some of the... There's a specific angel. I can't remember which angel is linked over Mars, that governs over Mars. There's many principalities and elementals, but the planet of war. So let's get back to this then. So unrest and confusion in the world. There's a great disturbance with confusion and restlessness in the whole world and in the council of the Archons. So the Archons are shaken up. Some were convinced when they saw the mighty deeds I accomplished. They are of the generation of Adonaios and are described from the one who fled from the throne to Sophia of Hope, since she had previously given indication about us and all those with me. They all were moving about. Others hurried to inflict every sort of punishment on me from the world ruler and his accomplices. They were restless of mind about what they would plot against me. They thought their majesty was everything. And they also told lies about the human beings and all the majesty of the assembly. They were incapable of knowing the Father of Truth, the human being of majesty. They usurped the name through corruption and ignorance, through a flame of fire and a vessel created for the destruction of Adam, made to conceal all those who likewise are theirs. The rulers from their realm of Yal the Baoth disclosed the circuit of the angels. That is what humanity was seeking, that they might not know the true human. For Adam the modeled creature appeared to them. So throughout their dwelling place, there was agitation and fear that the angels surrounding them might take a stand against them. For those offering praise, I died, though not really, that their archangel might be useless. The arrogance of the world ruler, archangel, nanu, 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 nanu. Then the voice of the world ruler announced to the angels, I am God, and there is no other beside me. I laughed heartily when I reflected upon how conceited he was. He kept saying over and over, who is this human being? The whole host of his angels, who had seen Adam in his dwelling place, laughed at its insignificance. Thus their thought turned away from the heavenly majesty, who is the true human, whose name they perceived in the insignificance of a dwelling place. They are inferior, senseless in their empty thought and their laughter, and so they were corrupted. The entire majesty of the fatherhood of the Spirit was at rest in his realms, and I was with him, since I have a thought of a single emanation from the eternal and unknowable ones, undefiled and immeasurable. I disturbed and frightened the whole multitude of the angels and their ruler, and I placed a small thought in the world. I examined all with flame and fire through my thought, and all they did through me. So he's shaking things up. He's mixing it up, and people are starting to realize the rulers, the principalities are figuring out Jesus has a lot of power, and people are starting to follow him. And what's interesting also is literally this is presented as Jesus writing this text. Now, whether or not he did, that's totally up for debate. My gut's telling me he didn't. My gut's telling me that this is information that is still not complete. I think it's very metaphorical. I think a lot of this information is astrotheological. And I do see there's a lot of connections, though. I think that it's also talking about how some of these kings and rulers would usurp up planets and gods' names in their honor, and they would have scribes write about them saying that they were the gods of the sun, like Marduk. And I think that a lot of credit is given to these ancients where maybe credit shouldn't be given. Or maybe, you know, maybe that they are being looked at as these deities that they kind of stole that information and adopted it for themselves. They gained power. And then most of the information we have is from the victors, ladies and gentlemen. Most of the knowledge we have, especially from history and stuff that's 2,000 years old, is from the victors. Imagine these institutions similar to the Vatican, and think of all the people that were killed and slaughtered in the name of a god because they were supposedly the inferior ones or the evil ones. And then that information is lost. Those stories are lost. The assets are transferred over to those institutions. And really think about the knowledge that you have access to, how much of it is tailored to fit certain agendas and institutions and corporations. There might be a lot of truth there. Yet at the same time, when you find out many of these scriptures have been put together in metaphorical aspects, so almost to deceive the majority of people, and it takes to where it takes you years, or, you know, most of your life, half of your life, a quarter of your life, you know, whoever knows how much time it takes you to get to these higher truths. It was designed that way for a reason. So you can find it. You just have to know where to look for it and look more into the symbolism and how they can be infinite. So then it describes there was trouble and strife around the seraphim and the cherubim. Those are different angels, whose glory will perish, and commotion around Adonios on every side and around their dwelling place, all the way to the world ruler who said, "Let us seize him." Others said, "This plan will never work out, for Adonios knows me through hope." Then it's in the mouth of lions. "I was in the mouth of lions. They hatched a plot against me to counter the destruction of their error and foolishness, but I did not give in to them." Hold on a second. Man, this hair that's growing so fast, it's just crazy. So, "but I not give it to them as they had planned. I was not hurt at all. Though they punished me, I did not die in actuality, but only in appearance, that I might not be put to shame by them. As if they are part of me, I freed myself of shame, and I did not become faint-hearted because of what they did to me. I would have become bound by fear, but I suffered only in their eyes and their thought, that nothing may ever be claimed about them. The death they think I suffered, they suffered in their error and blindness. They nailed their man to their death. Their thoughts did not perceive me, since they were deaf and blind. By doing these things, they pronounced judgment against themselves. As for me, they saw me and punished me, but someone else, their father, drank the gall and the vinegar. It was not I. They were striking me with the scourge, but someone else, Simon, bore the cross on his shoulder. Someone else wore the crown of thorns, and I was on high, poking fun at all the excess of the rulers and the fruit of their error and conceit. I was laughing at their ignorance." So he was laughing at the excesses of the rulers and their ignorance. So Jesus, the real Christ, is literally laughing as they're hanging someone else on the cross named Simon. "Coming down past the rulers, I brought all their powers into subjection when I came down. No one saw me, for I kept changing my form on high." This is where you start talking about being a shapeshifter. "When I came down, no one saw me, for I kept changing my forms on high, transforming from shape to shape. So when I was at their gates, I assumed their likeness. I passed by them quietly. I saw their realms, but I was not afraid or ashamed because I was pure. I was speaking with them and mingling with them through those who are mine. Jealousy, I trampled on those who are harsh toward them, and I put out the fire. I was doing all this by my will to complete what I willed in the will of the Father above. So he's literally saying he's shapeshifting right there. Bringing up the child of the majesty from the region below. We brought the child of the majesty hidden in the region below to the height. There I am in the eons that no one has seen or understood. Where the wedding of the wedding robe is, it is the new wedding, not the old, and it does not perish. For the new bridal chamber is of the heaven, is of the heavens, and it is perfect. As I have revealed, there are three ways, and this is an undefiled mystery in the spirit of the eternal realm that is not destroyed or divided or even discussed, for it is indivisible, universal, and permanent. The soul from on high will not discuss error here or carry herself away from these realms that are here. She will be carried forth when she is liberated and treated nobly in the world, and she stands before the Father with no difficulty or fear, forever communing with the mind of ideal power. These will see me from every side with no animosity, for they see me. And they are seen mingling with them. They did not put me to shame, and they were not ashamed. They were not afraid in my presence. And they will pass by every gate without fear and be perfected in the third glory. Wow, that's awesome. Now, this is where it gets extremely controversial right here. In the crucifixion interpreted, he starts to laugh at the one that's getting crucified. He's laughing at the people that are... Well, maybe he's not laughing at the person that's being crucified. Well, you tell me what you think. Here it goes. You tell me. The world was not receptive to my visible exaltation. My third immersion in an image that was perceptible, the flame of the seven authorities was extinguished. The sun of the powers of the rulers set. Darkness overcame them, and the world became impoverished. Impoverished. That makes me think of the planets. You're not being able to see. Something happened to the planets and the sun getting dark. So that's astral theology to me. They bound this one with many bonds and nailed him to the cross. And they secured him with four bronze nails. He ripped the temple veil with his own hands. An earthquake shook earth's chaos. For the souls of the dead were released and resurrected. And they walked out in the open. Wow. Imagine that. Like walking dead. But not zombies. Just ghosts. I mean, it's practically Walking Dead right now. Just go to the grocery store. Most people are literally two IQ points away from a walking zombie anyway. They're like... Apologize. Let's go back to the important stuff here. Whew, I'm telling you. It freaks me out going out in public. They scare me. So, you got all that. You get all that sheep crap on you, too. You just got to wipe it off. So... They bound this one with many bonds and nailed him to the cross, and they secured him with four bronze nails. He ripped the temple veil with his own hands. An earthquake shook earth's chaos, for the souls of the dead were released and resurrected, and they walked out in the open. They laid aside ignorant jealousy and lack of insight by the dead tomes. Tomb, whatever. And they put on the new person. They had come to know, potato, potato, the blessed, perfect one of the eternal, incomprehensible Father and the infinite light. That's what I am. When I came to my own and united them with me, there was no need for many words. Our thought was one with their thought. So they understood what I was saying. We made plans for the destruction of the rulers, and in this I did the will of the Father. That's what I am. Wow. So let's read that again. When I came to my own and united them with me, there was no need for many words. Our thought was one with their thought so that they understood what I was saying. We made plans for the destruction of the rulers. And in this, I did the will of the Father. That's what I am. Huh. Well, it kind of makes me think of when Jesus said that some people think that he's bringing peace, but he's really bringing a sword. Opposed and persecuted in the world. when we left our home and came down to this world and became embodied in the world, we were hated and persecuted both by those who are ignorant and by those who claim to be enriched with the name of Christ. Though they are vain and ignorant like irrational animals, they do not know who they are. They hate and persecute those whom I have liberated. If these people would only shut their mouths for once, they would start weeping and groaning in futility because they have not really known me. Rather, they have served two masters and even more. You, however, will be winners in everything, in combat fights and schism, with jealousy and anger, in the uprightness of our love. We are innocent, pure, and good, and we have the mind of the Father and an ineffable mystery. Wow. Okay, so I think that I'm having a tough time following that. I'm reading that there, and my mind's going, So you got to shut your mouth, start weeping and groaning because you don't know me. Rather, they have served two masters. You, however, will be winners in everything, in combat fights and schism and jealousy and anger. Huh. Wow. I don't know. What do you think, guys? What's your thoughts on that? Just saying. The opponents are insignificant and ignorant. Then here we go. Adam and his descent. I'm going to skip through most of this, and I'm going to finish this up here in a minute. But this is interesting as well. So Adam and his descendants were a joke. Adam was a joke. He was created by the ruler of the seventh realm in a phony way, in the shape of a human, as though he had become stronger than I and my siblings. We are blameless towards him, and we have not sinned. Abraham was a joke, as were Isaac and Jacob, since they were called patriarchs in a phony way by the ruler of the seventh realm, as though he had become stronger than I and my siblings. We are blameless towards him, and we have not sinned. David was a joke, since his son was named Son of Humanity and was put in power by the ruler of the seventh realm, as though he had become stronger than I and my kin. We are blameless towards him. We have not sinned. Solomon was a joke, since he became arrogant through the ruler of the seventh realm and thought he was the anointed, as though he had become stronger than I and my siblings. We are blameless towards him. I have not sinned. The 12 prophets were a joke, since they appeared as imitations of the true prophets. They came in a phony way through the ruler of the seventh realm, as though he had become stronger than I and my siblings. We are blameless towards him, and we have not sinned. Moses was a joke, called the faithful servant and friend. The testimony about him was wrong, since he never knew me. He did not know me, and none of those before him, from Adam to Moses and John the Baptizer, knew me or my siblings. They had instruction from angels to observe food laws and submit to bitter slavery. They never knew truth, and they never will, because their souls are enslaved, and they can never find a mind with freedom to know until they come to know the Son of Humanity. On account of my Father, I was the one the world did not know, and for this reason it rose up against me and my siblings. But we are blameless toward it and have not sinned. The ruler of the world is a joke. The ruler was a joke, for he said, I am God, and no one is greater than I. I alone am Father and Lord, and there is no other beside me. I am a jealous God, and I bring the sins of the fathers upon the children for three and four generations, as though he had become stronger than I and my siblings. We are blameless toward him, and we have not sinned in the way we mastered his doctrine. But he is conceited and does not agree with our Father. So through our friendship, we overcame his doctrine, since he is arrogant and conceited and does not agree with our Father. He was a joke with his judgment and false prophecy. Then, I am Christ. O you who cannot see, you do not perceive that on account of my blindness, this is one unknown. Neither did those people ever know or understand him. They would not listen to an accurate account of him, and so they practiced their lawless justice and raised their filthy, murderous hands against him as if they were beating the air. Those who are mindless and blind are always mindless, always slaves of law and worldly fear. I am Christ, Son of Humanity, one from you who is within you. For you I am despised, that you may dismiss what is impermanent. Don't become female, lest you give birth to evil. And what is related? Jealousy, dissension, anger, wrath, dishonesty, and greed. Wait a second, what? So don't become female, because then you're going to give birth to evil, jealousy, anger, wrath, dishonesty, and greed. Must be a mistranslation there. Hello. Man, this hair is getting in the way. It's hard to read with all this hair that just is growing so fast. It's crazy. The radiation levels are insane. It's like, those Mylabs they put me through, it's helping to grow faster. So that's why I've got the duct tape tinfoil hat on right now. It's actually aluminum foil. I need to get tinfoil. Excuse me. So here we go. Where were we? All right. So first of all, I think that there's some interesting gems in there. There's some very interesting passages that bring up some fascinating points about, you know, they were the judge, they were following laws and eating certain things, etc. But is that really from the divine? Or are they just rules and regulations that are, you know, might make good sense, but are also maybe a little bit out of control? I don't know. That's very interesting. So I am Christ of humanity. To you, I am ineffable mystery. Once before the foundation of the world, when the whole multitude of the assembly in the realm of the eight came together and made plans, they united at spiritual marriage. In spiritual marriage, the marriage was consummated in these ineffable places by means of a living word through the mediator, Jesus, who dwells in all of them and rules over them with pure, profound love. He transformed himself and appeared as a single manifestation of all of them as thought, Father, one. He stands apart from them, for he came forth all by himself. He is life. He, from the Father of truth, ineffable, perfect, the Father of those there, the unity of peace, friend of the good, eternal life, and spotless joy, in complete harmony of life and faith through eternal life of fatherhood, motherhood, sisterhood, and rational wisdom. These were one with mind that extends itself, that will extend itself in joyful union. He is honored and listens faithfully to the one. This is in fatherhood, motherhood, brotherhood of the word and wisdom. This is a wedding of truth, incorruptible rest, and a spirit of truth in every mind, perfect light, the unnamed mystery. Wow. And I'm just going to read the last chapter. I'm going to close this out. This is what I have given you. This is what I have presented to you. I am Jesus the Christ, Son of humanity, exalted above the heavens. You who are perfect and undefiled, I have presented this to you on account of the mystery that is undefiled and perfect and ineffable, that you understand that we ordained these things before the foundation of the world, so that when we appear throughout the world, we may present the symbols of incorruption from the spiritual union with knowledge. You do not know this because of the cloud of flesh that overshadows you. It is I who am the friend of Sophia. From the beginning, I have been close to my Father where the children of truth are, and the majesty rest in me, my friends in spirit, my brothers and sisters forever. Second discourse of great Seth. And then if you read the Revelation of Peter, which is right after that in the Nag Hammadi treatise, it also talks about how Jesus was laughing at the worldly rulers when there was somebody being crucified at the cross. He's saying, this isn't me. So Courtney Brown and the Farsight Institute did a remote viewing session on the crucifixion, and they also said that somebody else was crucified, and it wasn't the Christ, it wasn't Jesus. Now, I'm wondering, though, if there might be a lot of truth in here, and there's so much symbolism, and much of it is metaphorical, and I'm sure there's mistranslations, little just bits and pieces of mistranslations as well, nothing maybe too serious. But to really understand it, I think that you have to read it, break it down, put together other scriptures and information, and just kind of meditate on it, think about it deeply, and then pieces will resonate throughout. So what is your take on this? And what was the Council of Eight? That was very fascinating. I'm trying to think of the what would link to the Eight and the Council of Eight, the majesty. It talked of these higher councils and realms and these angelic locations. Or is it, you know, 21st century style? Is it a space station? Is it extraterrestrial physical bodies in maybe have longer lifespans, similar to the Anunnaki or something like that? I've often wondered if the archons that are described in the different parts of the Nag Hammadi are actually some of these Anunnaki. But then when you break down the Enki and the Enlil and Anu and the possibilities of the kingships and who they actually were, what they represented, if it started off as cosmic beings and then they broke it down into representing characters in physical form. It just gets deeper the more I research it. And I don't know about you guys, but thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. Once again, check out Trade Genius Academy. Make sure to watch the live show tomorrow, Trade Genius Academy. If you want to get into cryptocurrencies, if you want to become an expert at cryptocurrencies, check them out. They're offering specials for Leak Project listeners. And also, subscribe to leakproject.com. Become a premium member today. Get access to over 1,500 podcasts, downloadable, streamable, ad-free. And there's about 200 or so podcasts exclusive to leakproject.com. So thank you for your support. Thank you for being excellent to each other and be the change you want to see.